Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew 6, 1, 2, 6, and 15 through 21, Common English Bible. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attentions. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. When you pray, don't be like a hypocrite. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father, who is present in that secret place. Your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where their thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where the thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thine sight, for you stand, O God, as our rock and redeemer, and you are such. In your name we pray. Amen. Practice over presentation. Practice over presentation. May I ask you a question on this very first night of Lent? This very first night where this word that means a many thing to us, coming in some context, renewal in another language, repent in another language, remember in another language, prepare. May I ask you a central question as we start this 40-day journey? Who do you admire? Who do you look up to? Who do you work to model your professionalism in your craft, or your perseverance in your life, or your process in your journey, or your execution of your desired level of excellence? Who do you
model yourself after? Who do you admire? As the kids like to say, who is your shadow? Or do you want to be like Mike? Is it a professional or some entertainer or someone who works in some other field? What is it that they do that draws you and draws your attention to their work and their effort? What would be the one thing that you would want to do like this person more than anything else? What have you noticed about the nuance and the nurturing of their journey that has spiked your interest to watch them in ways that keep captivating your attention? Do you know who that is now? Have you resonated in your mind who that person is for yourself? I have done so. I want to tell you a few of them. I have several, but I just want to lift a few for you this night. The first is a musician out of the city of New Orleans. If you ever go to New Orleans and you say New Orleans, they'll know you're out of order. New Orleans, Louisiana, named Wynton Marsalis. The second person I lift for you that you might know that draws me to want to be better and different, her name is Susan Taylor. She is the former editor-in-chief of a magazine called Essence. The third is a woman named Maya Angelou. Boy, am I glad she never had to edit any of my sermons. You would have never heard one. The fourth is a person whose name is Howard Thurman. The fifth is a man named Tom Brokaw. Surprised you, didn't I? His excellence in his work to share the news each night marvels me. A fifth, a sixth, William E. Du Bois. His ability to be a philanthropist while at the same time an activist and not disturb too many folks marvels my mind. Finally, the person that keeps me up at night, you probably don't know this man, but his name was Benjamin Elijah Mays. And if it were not for him, I would not have had a college to go to. He was the sixth president of Morehouse College. And when it was $3 million in debt, he spent 27 years making sure that the debt got paid enough so some of us could go there several years later. It is because of him and his phrase and his craftsmanship of excellence in education and administration that I am called to always seek to get better in my professional life. This preacher who never preached a message more than 10 minutes long, according to the annals of time, boy, wouldn't you like me to model that? He crafted in 1947 a ritual for those of us who attended that great institution that lives to this day. If you are in school between the months of August and May, you will meet in the chapel every Monday morning at 7:15, and you will give yourself the opportunity to quote Benjamin Elijah Mays before you are pummeled with the challenge of excellence. And you will hear this phrase five times. Not sin itself, but low aim is real sin. Benjamin Elijah Mays challenged every person that went to any college, any university, to accept the gift that they had to learn and to pursue education in a way that they did not take even their struggles in their craftsmanship of being one who was learned for granted. He would tell students often as he knocked on their doors, as he walked through the hallways at 6 a.m, you're up too late and you're not down too early. In other words, you don't have time to sleep. You've got a book that you need to read and you've got a class you've got to finish and you've got a task to do. And he would often tell them, don't tell me that you're tired. Tell me you're finished when you get your degree. He believed that low aim was sin. And as well as you might think of yourself, you could always get better because someone else would be dependent and incumbent upon the way you would execute with excellence your craft that they might be helped. Michael Jordan was not a great reader in his college years. In fact, he graduated in something that is colloquially called thank you, Lordy. Some of you graduated summa cum laude. Some of you graduated other laudes. He graduated thank you, Lordy. He was just grateful to get the degree and go on and be the best basketball player that the world has ever seen. I know I'm from Cleveland. I know LeBron James, but the truth be told, Jordan is still king, at least for now. But he did glean enough of that diligence and discipline to write a book, which if you ever come to my office every once in a while, when you sit down, you'll notice I have a book in front of my desk that I pull when I'm having a difficult day. And this is the one at Current. It's entitled, you could tell he was not a scholar, I Can't Accept Not Trying. There are a lot of nuggets in here. Just one I want to read to you before I get to the text. Here's what he says near the end of it. It turns out my best isn't good enough. Then at least I'll never be able to look back and say when I try that I wasn't too afraid to try. And this is why I practice day in and day out, night in and night out. Because I never will let my best be good enough. Now, before you become nervous that I am going to try to move you to a place where you live out the gospel in such a way that you have perfected it, please understand Matthew, as he writes in that time period between 50 and 60 AD to a Jewish group of people who are now following this one who is now going to be the savior of the world. He was not looking for them to make their work so perfected that everything they did was without blemish or stain. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, we discover this one who is the savior of the world who teaches in this four-segment teaching what it is to have true authenticity as you live a disciplined life. Because those that practice will become disciplined, and those who will become disciplined will become disciples, and those who become disciples will help themselves and others reach a destiny that they could not achieve on their own. Jesus, in this composite, Joanne, that you read so ably that I have enough sense not to read again because it's actually 21 verses. He gives us four things that I want you to know as I kind of turn the corner on this sermon. Believe it or not, it won't be 10 minutes, but I won't preach 25 tonight. He suggests to us in verses 1 through 4 that our religion must be real. That our religion must be real. In verses 5 and 6, he compels us to see that prayer must be persistent. In verses 16 through 17, you've got to go back and read all of 8 through 15, but I don't have time tonight. If you read verses 16 through 18, you discover that the process of fasting is not only physical, but it is spiritual and it means fruit for the living of these days. And in verses 19 through 21, he talks to us about the task of being people who don't treasure treasures, but treasure the treasures that are treasures. I'll get to that in just a minute. In all of this, Jesus offers us this Ash Wednesday, this sacred moment where we celebrate the gift of what it is to be people who are temporal on this side of heaven, the opportunity to understand that our practice will bring forth purpose if we become people who are persistent. It is the reason why Lent exists. It is the purpose for this 40 days. Jesus takes these 40 days on in Luke chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 6 and even later on in the text, if you look back at Mark chapter 15, he takes on a 40-day period for the process of lifting purpose for people who have a promise in the future. Very quickly, verses 1 through 4, chapter 6, we discover this talk about religion. Now, those of you who've been with me the last couple weeks on Sundays, you know that I've been struggling with the contemporary English Bible. You know we've talked about the difference between one word or another. But I got to tell you something. In this particular pericope, this particular passage, there is no better translation than the Common English Bible to help us see these verses. In fact, if you ever get one, you'll notice in these segments of scripture, they talk about this phrase, showy religion, showy prayer, showy fasting, showy. And here's what I want to say to you about this issue of showy fasting and showing prayer and showing religion. Let me stop right there. The first four verses help us understand that God calls us to be a people of practice and not hold on to showy religion. This Lent, I pray you will glean a greater sense of the purpose for why you practice religion, service, or mission, and use it as a means for public support, not for personal praise. He says, don't be like those who show their fruits outwardly and get credit for it for themselves. Verse 3, but when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If there's one way the Church of Jesus Christ can overwhelm this egregious, aggressive, I don't have words for it, overwhelming sense of need for hubris by our society in this day, it is by us practicing the gift of humility. The world needs a good dose of humility right now. People who do and just let it be done. You see, showy religion wants personal praise out of their public profit. Look at me. Jesus says, nobody knows about you when they follow me. They see you and they follow the Christ who is me. Point two, Jesus says, don't be a people of showy prayer. Verses 5 and 6 where he says here, he says in verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Note, hypocrite in the Greek and the Hebrew in the Matthew text is different than what we as Americans often think of hypocrites. Hypocrites in our language means a person who does say they're going to do one thing before they do something, and then later on we find out they didn't do it at all. But in the Greek and the Hebrew, the word hypocrite means this. The person does that in congruence, not for the need to fulfill the purpose that they've been given it for, but that they might glean personal gain from it. Friends, I want to say this to you very clearly. In this sense, the world could use the antidote of humility. A good sense of God's people who are following a God who is and was, and practice the gift of prayer, not because they will be seen as people who are spiritual, but because their prayers are effective. The scripture says this, that the prayers of the righteous are effective and are sure. Point three, Jesus suggests to us that if we would learn the discipline of practicing our faith over the presentation of our faith, we would not be people who would lean to showy fasting. You ever seen people who fast showy? They look rough and tough, and sometimes their physical appearance is not as much as their emotional appearance. They're all over the place. Jesus says, chill out. In fact, he says here in verse 17, when you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then people won't look at you like you're fasting to people, but only your Father who is present in the secret place. Because your Father who sees in secret, please remember that your Father who sees in secret, your Father who sees in secret, you need not worry. God knows when you're fasting, will feed you faith if you're faithful to fast for the right reasons. Now, fasting doesn't necessarily mean from food. Some of you are going to go from here and eat. It may mean from things that are just unnecessary. It may mean from conversations that are not fruitful. It may mean from your neighbor who always throws his paper on your doorstep because he just wants to see if you're home because he's nosy. Whatever that is, just fast from it. Release yourself from it. Practice the gift of patience. In fact, let me offer this. Worship is the antidote to this issue of showy fasting here. Because when you worship in front of a God who is your Lord, it is hard to be inauthentic in front of him or her or God. You choose. Finally, I offer you this. Jesus says to us in verses 19 through 21 that we are to be a people who avoid showy giving. That is, people who do public providing for people so that they can have personal prosperity. People who make a big deal of their gifts so that they can get credit for their giving. One of my professors of music wrote a song called Giving. And he says these words, it is not what you give, but what you yield that gives the best return. You see, giving only is true giving when it's yielded in such a way that it has nothing to do with our personal gain. This is not just true of money, but it's true of our lives and our grace and our love. And friends, if we have been reminded by any of the tragedy from this day in Florida, it is that the world is looking for people who will learn how to love freely and give freely and love in the process of giving their love freely in such a way that the world is overwhelmed, not because of who it comes from, but because there's so much of it they cannot see where it came from. That is why Jesus, on that 40 days, sacrificed and purged himself and put up with all kinds of angst and saw himself the one who was going to be chastened for the sins of the world. And in the scripture, it says in one place, and he said not a mumbling word at the end of that day because he loved us so much. So practice. I conclude with this. Practice more than present. Pray more than talk. How about this? Give and don't worry about it. How about this? Serve and let others serve you every once in a while. How about this? How about this? Worship and don't worry. This is what Lent is for. It is for us to regain the practices that make us pure and purposeful and strong. And it is in that process when we go from practice to purpose that the presentation of our faith will tell the people who are seeking to find the Father just how good God can be. Would you pray with me? God, we begin this journey of Lent asking for your grace and mercy. So now, as we move forward with this practice, we're reminded through this sacred act of receiving the ashes that we are temporal, but we have a purpose. And in that process, we can show the world how to transform its earthly needs to the more heavenly and spiritual ways of your will. Give us the grace of this witness. Help us to be reminded through the receiving of ashes that we are that kind of people who can give that kind of grace. And in so, may you be praised. This we ask, and we ask it all. In Christ's name, God's people said, amen. The imposition of ashes is the reminder to all of God's people that just like Jesus, we have a time period for our journey, that we are to treasure it and honor it. And so, here is the process of how we begin our time in Lent this season. I will pray and then I will invite you to come and receive these gifts. You will hear this phrase as you come. From ashes you have come, and to ashes you shall return. As I mark you with the cross of Christ, know this. The symbol from down, from up to down, marks your humanity. The symbol from left to right is the marking of your humility. As you receive those gifts, you are welcome to pray and stay as we are led in song, and take the moment to know that God loves you. Pray with me. Almighty God, you have created out of the dust of the earth these your people. So those of us who sit here now ask your grace. Grant that these ashes may be a sign to us of our mortality and our penitence, so that we might remember that only by your gracious act and gift we will go from this life to everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord, God's people said. You may come as you wish, receive the ashes, take hold of the altar, and pray as you are led.